What do you think of when you hear the phrase, it's a matter of life and death? Whatever the specific situation, when it's spoken in a serious tone, it refers to something that's important. Something that's not to be toyed with. It is a matter, don't you see, of life and death. Well, here's another question along the same line. Have you ever had a near-death experience? A situation in which you came close to being killed? Or close to dying? Normally, we think of a near-death experience as something terrible. But today, I want to talk to you about a near-death experience that's not only a good thing, but it's a thing that we can all celebrate. This near-death experience comes through faith in our dear Lord Jesus Christ, and this faith becomes ours in two basic ways. As the Holy Spirit, working through the preaching and teaching of God's Word, places that faith in our heart. A second way is when the same Holy Spirit works through the waters of the sacrament of holy baptism right here at this font and creates faith in your heart. Particularly today, we want to consider baptism as our spiritual near-death experience. Listen again to some words from Paul from Romans chapter 6. He tells us, really, it's a matter of life and death. Paul says, we have all died to sin. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. We were buried with Him through baptism into death. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may walk in a new life. Today, we're going to look at a number of sayings, and they're on your sermon outline. You can see them right in front of you. We'll be looking at a number of sayings people use associated with the word death or dead. And they will help us appreciate the new life that God gives us through these waters of holy baptism. The first of these sayings is dead and buried. The picture that often comes to mind when you hear that phrase, dead and buried, is a picture of a gravestone in a cemetery. On that gravestone, you'll read the words, here lies Joe Jones, or here lies Ming Chang. There'll be the date of the birth, the date of the death. But we could say the same thing about the place where you were baptized, whether at this baptismal font, or another font of place of baptism in God's house all over the world. Here, at the font of holy baptism, you were killed. You were buried. Your old sinful self was put to death and buried with Jesus just as He was buried after His death on the cross. So says St. Paul. But here at this baptismal font, make no mistake about it, you also came to life. You came to life as your old sinful self was given eternal life with God through the resurrection cleansing powers of the waters of holy baptism. And this brings us to a second saying about death. It's a saying we often see in old cowboy movies, shows about the Wild West. The saying is, wanted, dead or alive. These words, wanted dead or alive, in cowboy movies, of course, as you know, would be printed on posters or pictures of a drawing of a person's face. And when you saw the drawing, there would be the words, wanted dead or alive, and you knew that if you found some way to get this person to the sheriff or the authorities, you would get a big reward. And that reward would be yours, whether you brought the person in dead or alive. The great thing that St. Paul tells us from our text in Romans 6 today is this. In the waters of holy baptism, Almighty God wants you, dead and alive. He has told us that in our baptisms, we are dead to sin. At the same time, we're given a brand new life in Jesus Christ. Now, God knows. That as long as we're alive on this earth, we are both sinners and we're saints. We are sinners, we are those who break God's holy commandments. We break God's heart, we hurt ourselves, and we hurt others. But at the same time, wonder of wonders, we are saved, forgiven, washed, cleansed by Jesus' blood shed upon that old wonderful cross that In Christ sang about this morning. And our baptism, this is declared as well. The Bible points in the waters of baptism a very picture, a very vivid picture of the before and after of our lives. What our lives were like before Christ. What our lives are like as He indwells in us through the waters of holy baptism. Before Christ, we were separated from Almighty God because of our sin. The Bible describes us with these three characteristics. Apart from saving faith in Jesus Christ, we were spiritually blind, spiritually dead, and enemies of God. But when we are united to God through Jesus Christ in the waters of holy baptism, we are given spiritual sight. We become spiritually alive. And we are made, yes, you are made, God's beloved son, God's beloved daughter. So now we can boldly and joyfully address Almighty God as our loving Heavenly Father. The next saying I'd like you to consider is a saying that couples often speak right here at the foot of the altar. I've heard it countless times. At their weddings, they speak these words, "Until death, us do part." This saying declares that the husband and wife promise to one another and to Almighty God that they will be faithful to each other as long as they live until their lives are ended. These words are a pledge that only death will separate. But the wonderful news about our holy baptism is this. In the waters of baptism, God Himself says to us, "I pledge myself to you. I will be your father. You will be my son. You will be my daughter. And not even death will ever separate us." In fact, at our deaths, our dear Heavenly Father will take us to be with Himself. So we will be closer to Him than we ever have been upon this earth. But we also can see in baptism, in really quite a lesser way, we're making our pledge of faithfulness to God. When parents bring their infant to the waters of holy baptism, they're making their pledge for their infant. As a young adult or adult is being baptized, they are making this pledge also for themselves. "Lord, I will be faithful to you until death, as long as I am alive upon this earth, until that day when you take me to be home with you forever." Well, this morning, let's consider just one last saying. It's kind of my favorite. It's a saying you hear in horror movies. "The living dead." Well, in such far-fetched, imaginative movies, the living dead are called zombies. The make-believe creatures who are dead, but somehow they continue to walk around like they don't even know it. Often they're portrayed not even knowing they're already dead. But let me ask you on a serious note. Do you know? And it's sad to say that there are people all around us today eating, breathing, working, and playing, and they don't even know they're spiritually dead. There are people you see every day in the store, in the neighborhood, in your extended families, who are walking and talking and breathing and working and eating and living, but they're spiritually dead. Apart from God. Now, as we said earlier, we're all sinners. And yet those sinners, apart from faith in Jesus Christ and apart from the waters of holy baptism, are spiritually blind, spiritually dead, and heading for that for an eternity In a powerful movie made some years ago, we were introduced to a Christian woman who dedicated her life to U.S. prison inmates on death row. These were men and women in the USA whose crimes had got them scheduled for the death penalty. In this movie, this Christian woman spends the last days of life with the prisoner sentenced to be executed. And as he was being led from his prison cell down the hallway to the place of his execution, the prison guard shouted out for all to hear these words, "Dead man walking." And this indeed was the name of the movie, "Dead Man Walking." My friends, apart from our Savior Jesus Christ, we are all dead men walking, dead women walking, destined for God's wrath and eternal punishment. But today, as we consider the wonders of God's love for us at the waters of holy baptism, we see a powerful way in which God transforms us from dead men walking into His beloved children, dead to sin, but alive in Christ. What do you think the cross is all about? What do you think was the purpose for that beautiful hymn, "In Christ Let Us In," the wonderful cross? Through that wonderful cross, we are transformed from dead women and men walking to His beloved children who will walk with Him forever. We end this sermon by asking a question. I'm sure most of you here have heard about CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Often it's called life-saving. In this methodology, one is taught how to push on a chest, breathe into a mouth of a person who's fallen and can't breathe and perhaps is dying. I'm wondering if anybody here has ever taken a CPR class. Well, can you imagine? Can you imagine knowing how to perform CPR, seeing a person dying and bringing them back to life? Can you imagine doing that? Well, could you imagine knowing CPR and watching a person dying or walking on by, even though you could save them, and the person dies? Why would we not save someone if we have the ability to do so? My friends, why would we stand by when we see people spiritually dying? When we see people who are dead men and dead women walking? My friends, God has given us His holy power through the preaching and teaching of His Word, through the waters of holy baptism, through which He saves people for all eternity. This power is also CPR, Christ-powered resurrection. May we as a congregation and as individuals use every opportunity and every resource we have to bring people to this place where God's powerful Word is proclaimed, the waters of baptisms are shared. Why? Because it's a matter of life and death. In the name of Jesus, whose death and resurrection gives us life, now and into life everlasting, all praise and honor and glory to Him. Amen.